Okay, and here we are, hour number two. We're going to talk this hour about something that a lot of you are paying attention to and watching unfold in the media. It has to do with singer-songwriter Joni Mitchell. There was a report out 2 days ago that she was in a coma, non-responsive. A representative from her company, which she runs, stepped forward and said, no, she is not in a coma and non-responsive. She is in a hospital and receiving treatment. So that was done in response to a relative who was apparently talking about going to court to try to gain conservatorship of her estate. All about money, isn't it, folks? Same old, same old. So Joni Mitchell, in a coma or not in a coma, what does it matter? What it matters is we're talking about the highest profile public figure that I know of yet who has admittedly been infested, invaded, and penetrated by Morgellons. She's got it, and she's got it badly. I am suggesting also that there is a possibility, if not probability, that her Morgellons has something to do with her hospitalization. Now, back with us tonight is our friend and colleague of so many years who has reported on Morgellons, Cliff Mickelson, who has had it himself for 25 years or more, and has come to terms with it and has actually adjusted very well. It's remarkable how well you've done, Cliff. But he was available tonight, and I asked him to come back and talk about Joni Mitchell and the general prognosis of the Morgellons pandemic, which is what it is. It's on all seven continents. You don't hear about it. It's not in the news, of course, because they don't want the news talking about it. It's very simple. Hello, Cliff. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. How are you? It's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. I'm doing better each day, as they say.
Excellent.
Now, Joni Mitchell, what do you think about the probability, in my view, I'll say probability, that her advanced Morgellons has something to do with her current condition?
Well, actually, yeah, it's a pretty safe bet to make because Morgellons, of course, is Once it invades the body, the first thing it does is attack the immune system and it weakens the entire organism. So whatever else there may be, and of course they're very close-mouthed about mm-hmm. this, but whatever else there may be affecting Joni at this point in time, it's a sure bet that Morgellons is a major player. I noticed, Jeff, in the reviews that I was reading about this situation, is that Joni has been a smoker for some years.
She said 6 decades.
Yes, that's a long time. It's a very long time.
Well, she can't sing anymore. She said she lost her voice to smoking. That's a direct quote.
It's like, hello. This is one of the things that I have said for many years and tried to get across to other Morgellons victims out there. You need to take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That is job one.
Yeah.
This is a thing that I've applied to myself, completely redoing the way you live and the way you what you put in your body, and this is the first thing you've got to do. Now, in Joni's case, she's in the hospital with whatever else she's in there with, but Morgellons is a major player. I will lay money on it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for nearly a month she's been in that hospital because she has she's got this affliction. She hasn't obviously taken care of other issues. They're health related, and so Morgellons is probably just having a field day.
Okay, now let me go to the issue of her actually being hospitalized. We know about these fibers. We know they fall off the body. We know there are not just fibers, there are many other kinds of things, as Jan Smith has so magnificently and heroically shared with the world. What's her website? Do you have off the top of your head the URL?
The house that Morgellons built, I believe she calls it.
I think you're right. The house that Morgellons, M-O-R-G-E-L-L-O-N-S, the house that Morgellons built. I urge you to go there if you don't know anything, even if you do know something about Morgellons, and take a look at what Jan Smith has actually harvested from her own body, the skin of her body. Extraordinary. Frightening.
And if I could add to that, the work that Jan Smith has done is outstanding. Outstanding in the field. Considering that she began as just another victim of this affliction, done some amazing work over the years, unrequited as it were. But if you go to her site and just type in her name on a Google search, Jan Smith and Morgellons, her site will come up. It's an amazing experience.
If you're listening, Jan, we really miss you and hope you're doing okay. There are always ups and downs, mostly downs with this thing. It's a very ugly road to travel, but your contributions will always, always be here. And if there was a way to nominate you for a Morgellons Prize, if there was one, but I'll even nominate you for a Nobel Prize for a citizen scientist. You have done just extraordinary things. So I hope you're listening, and our best wishes to you, of course. When you folks go to Jan's site and you see what she has pulled out of her body, you'll say, it's got to be a joke. It's not a joke. Now, the other thing I was going to start talking about, let me go back to it now. Joni Mitchell's in the hospital. You and I both know that the bed sheets and the hospital gowns that she's wearing will pick up these fibers. Do you feel that those are vector enough now to easily transmit this condition? Do we have any evidence? We do know the fibers will attach themselves to skin and burrow their way in, as it were.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the ironic thing is that if we can go back to Jan Smith real quick, she had some surgeries done herself a few years ago in the hospital.
On her knees. Yeah.
Right. And at the time, they put her in intensive isolation.
Well, wasn't that the second time? She had both knees replaced. And I think the first time, the doctor said afterward in a conference with her, you have all these weird things inside your knee joint. And the second time, I think she told me that they donned moon suits and did a total ISO operating theater to replace her knee, her other knee.
Absolutely. As I recall, you're 100% correct. It was a hazmat situation.
Yeah.
And I would love to be a fly on the wall in Joni Mitchell's hospital room right now to see exactly how they're treating this particular situation. It's been very closed-mouthed, and it's almost impossible to get any actual information out of anybody.
Yeah. She ought to be in isolation as rigid as that which is given to suspected Ebola victims. That's my opinion.
Yes, and wouldn't that be just something to see, come to find out that she is being held in that kind of an isolation situation? After all the thunder and lightning about how Morgellons is an imaginary disease, and then all of a sudden they're treating it with a hazmat.
Exactly. Has Joni Mitchell done much publicly for the Morgellons movement since she came forward with it, which is an amazing contribution in and of itself? What else has she done?
Well, that's a real good question. And for a long time, because I've known about Joni's situation for quite a few years now, for a long time I just wondered, why won't she come out a little bit more publicly and say something and do something? But Joni's, from what I understand of her, is she's a very private person. But recently I've read some quotes that just opened my eyes up wide. She said she was trying to get away from the music business so that she could become more of an advocate for Morgellons, which I thought, wow. Because as you said at the beginning of the program, she is probably the highest profile public figure to date to actually acknowledge that she has this affliction. So she's really an asset for the Morgellons community if she chooses to be one.
Or if they let her be one.
Ah, there's the rub.
Maybe they don't want Joni Mitchell talking about something that is just a delusional parasitosis condition that doesn't exist.
Well, lo and behold, about a month and a half ago or so, I began to run across articles that were extremely well written that were slamming her and twisted her words and twisted her statements to where it made her look as if, guess what, she's off her rocker.
Mm-hmm.
But these articles, Jeff, were written extremely well and obviously done by professional disinformation.
Yeah, well, they've got an unlimited manpower supply for that, and they can smear anybody they want at any time. Moment just takes a few moments. I don't know. I don't like this, frankly. She being sick and not having come forward like she was ruminating about doing, I guess.
Right. What does she have to lose? And I would urge her to step up to the plate. You know, we need her. She needs to do this for herself, in my opinion. And if she would be doing the world and all victims of this horrible affliction an immeasurable favor.
Okay, where are we in the battle for Morgellons now?
We basically are in the same place we've been for some time.
That's
sad to say. And you know, I hate to come back on the program and say, well, Jeff, you know, we're just not getting anywhere. We're walking in sand. We're walking
up the
river.
But that's the truth.
It is the truth. It's the truth. It's sad truth. Now, this thing with Joni is actually the first break, if you want to look at it that way, that we could actually say we've had, because even though it's been downplayed, and I've noticed that it's been scrubbed in some press releases, mm-hmm. but the reference to Morgellons is making some press.
Hmm.
And this is what we have to have if we're going to get anywhere. And we need more Joni Mitchells. And there will be. There probably already are. But we need people that'll come out and just say, hey, I've got this. Here it is. It's
right.
Real. You don't believe it. Tough.
Well, what I was trying to get at, the hospital bed sheets, you can't wash that stuff out. It just goes in the water around and around. It'll go back in, lodge itself in another crevice between some of the fibers of the sheets or whatever, and it'll work its way in there. So she really is. I'm not knocking in any way Joni Mitchell, but she is without intent vectoring this stuff around, unless they're going to take all of her sheets and throw them out
or burn them at a high temperature.
Very high, yeah.
Very high temperature. But here's the other thing. It doesn't matter if they wash the sheets, as you and I both know, and they do this, they do that. You can go in the windowsills, you can go to the electrical switches, you can go to the
right.
Any of the molding in the building or wherever a Morgellons victim has been, you're going to find evidence of them being there. And in Joni's case, it's going to be all over the place in that hospital.
Yep.
The nurses that come in there that handle her, that work with her.
Yeah.
You know, it's hello, and there it is.
Well, remember we had one nurse on from up your area, I think up in the Northwest, maybe somewhere up there, and she said that she could tell which hospital staff had it and which didn't by how they dressed. They always cover their arms up.
Yes.
Remember that? We had her
yes,
on the program.
Yes, I do remember that. Absolutely.
Now, that's a long time ago, and we haven't been allowed to get anywhere with this. The feds have put a lid on it, and when they came out with that hideous lie, which we expected, that it was just delusional and it was nothing at all, it's not nothing at all. It's something enormous, and it continues to move and spread and blossom in people's bodies. And we have yet to have one person who has passed on that we know of from Morgellons or with Morgellons that we have had or been able to have had access to the results of a real autopsy to see what the internal organ penetration has been by these fibers. And that's a
Absolutely.
Crucial question. But not one person who has died with Morgellons that I know of, do you, has had an
No.
autopsy.
No. As a matter of fact, the ones that have died with Morgellons that have made an issue of being a Morgellons victim have been cremated sometimes against their express wishes,
mm-hmm.
posthumously.
Yeah, not surprised. All right, what are you hearing around the world now from other people in other places, other countries who have the same problem but are not dealing with it much better than we are?
No, it's the same. It's whatever this particular lid that sits on top of this affliction is, it's all-inclusive. It's everywhere. But that doesn't minimize the fact that the affliction continues to spread. It's everywhere around the world, and of course, for years we've had documented cases of it in every continent except Antarctica. And there's just no stopping it. It continues to grow. I see it. I see it when I walk down the street. Sometimes I look at a person, and you can actually tell just from the kinds of they've got these sores breaking out on their bodies that never.
Well, that's
heal.
Right. If you see someone with sores on their face, for example, on their shoulders, on their arms. These are little red lesions, and you'll know what it is.
Yes, and after a while, you have with enough practice, you just
oh, you know you could probably see them as well as anyone can. Are you seeing them often when you're out in public?
Yes,
like, do you see one a day or something?
I see one every couple of days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, every couple of days.
Now, remember, most people with Morgellons don't go out. They stay indoors. They shut themselves away. They feel shunned. They feel contaminated, and they are. And they just don't go out, so you're not going to see them.
Right. And they do wear odd clothing in hot weather.
Yes, long sleeves. Yeah.
You'll never catch them in a bathing suit, that kind of stuff. You know, so it's there.
Go ahead, Cliff.
Sorry. I was going to say, just uncontrollable and uncurable sores, itching that just won't stop, and you have to scratch it until it starts to bleed, and the skin breaks easily and just bleeds, never heals, and never gets infected.
No, that's a very strange thing. Whatever Morgellons is, it has the ability to prevent bacterial infection.
Right.
Maybe they could use it as a trade-off for superbugs. It's not a very good trade-off, though.
No.
But it does. They're sterile sores. They just don't get infected. It's a very strange thing.
You can tear your body to pieces just scratching and tearing at this stuff. Because a lot of, especially new Morgellons victims do this. They're so panic-stricken or they're so stupefied by what's happening to themselves that they just, they start picking, they're just tearing at this going, I can't, what is this? Trying to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that happening, and these sores almost never get infected. And it's very obvious because they're a certain type of sore. But this is what Joni's been suffering from for a long time. And so I would just love to know what's going on in that hospital room.
I wonder if her organization would issue a statement if you were to contact them. You've got standing.
Yeah, I could get hold of them.
You could say, we're just trying to get an official statement on this. She has been so brave, and we appreciate everything she's done for the community, and we'd like to know if there is any worsening of your condition. Do you have any statement to make about it? Maybe you can get him to say something. Maybe she'll want to say something. Of course, she may well be in a coma and unresponsive. We really don't know.
There is something kind of odd about this whole thing with the hospital, because she went in on the 3rd of April. Well, here we are at the 1st of May. And now the doctors, if the press releases are to be trusted, are saying that she's not going to be fit to make any real public appearances, i.e. court things, et cetera, for 4 to 6 months. That's a long haul. And on top of that, whether or not she's conscious and dancing an Irish jig in the hospital or is in a coma, the question is, why are you in there for an entire month? That's not normal. So there's something going on above and beyond what we're being told or being fed through the press releases, through her own site or through the mainstream media. But I believe that there is some progress being made with her, because if the statement that was printed, that she would like to back off from the music business in order to pursue her...
When was this printed?
This was just recently, a few days ago. It was in the...
Oh, really? You mean it emanated from her in the hospital?
It was written as a quote from Joni, and I will look it up, and I can actually forward that to you as soon as I find it.
Well, it'd be interesting to see the original date of it.
Yeah, it's a recent statement, as I understand it, and it would indicate a change in her perceptions and a change in maybe her attitude, if it's based in fact, and it would be a most welcome change, because she can bring so much of good to this movement.
Okay, what about the idea that this continues to spread and no one's tracking it? No, I mean, I suggest the feds are, quietly, but we don't really know how much progress it's making through the society. All we can do is project and guess. The Morgellons community has certainly been penetrated by government assets to try to correct if it starts going off in a direction that the controllers don't want and bring it back. The control is really extant in everything now. Have you ever run across someone besides someone who's an obvious hustler, trying to take advantage of very sick and very scared people, of which there are many in the Morgellons field. Have you run across anyone that you would suspect as being someone working for the other side?
Well,
I don't need
yes,
any names.
Yes, yes, I have, actually. I'm sorry to say I have. Actually, and it's, the problem is that you start to suspect the entire universe. You know, it's like, it could be them, it could be me, it could be you, it could be them, and you know, and then pretty quick you've got to just say, take a deep breath and think mm-hmm. about this. But yes, it is. Yes, there are people that I suspect, people that I've known for many years, some people, not a lot. But it's obvious that this entire situation is being managed and has been managed on several levels, I would say. From not only just inserts in the community itself, but we've had, for years, we had that outrageously obscene website, Morgellons Watch, that was out there. And you don't get more obvious than that when it comes to one type of...
Amen,
Of management of a crisis. And then you insert people into the movement itself who are going to, oh, I'm going to help you out, and we're going to do this for the movement, we're going to do that for the movement. The next thing you know, the movement's going around chasing the tail, you know.
Which is what they want.
4 years later, it's like, where are we? The same place we were 4 years ago. How did that happen? Because we put all our faith and trust in a certain person, and they didn't deliver, you know. So, yeah, that's another way that they manage crisis situations.
They really don't have much of a challenge when it comes to that. They're very good at it. Hold on a minute. We'll come right back talking about Morgellons with Cliff Mickelson after this. Okay, back with Cliff Mickelson. Cliff, people who have had this, I hesitate to call it a disease. It's a condition. It's a syndrome. It's worse than that. It's a nightmare beyond description. For a long period of time, what is their general prognosis? Where are many of them? Can you find any similar parallel lines to track their progress or lack thereof in dealing with this over the years? What is a general outline of the prognosis after you become overtly infected? Remember, skin lesions may be among the last signs of someone who's been infested, or otherwise penetrated.
That's absolutely correct. Skin lesions can be a manifestation that comes on the scene a substantial amount of time after you've been infected. Once they're on the scene, they can come and they can go, but a lot of times they'll generally stay. And the interesting thing is, and I'm glad you asked that question because I think it's vitally important. When you first come down with this, of course, you really don't know what you've got. It can take time. It can take months. It can even take years before you figure it out. But the people that have had it for a long time, do they stabilize? And the answer to that is they stabilize if they're willing to make the effort, in my opinion. That's what I have done with myself, and I have seen other people do. You need a complete change of lifestyle. You need a complete change of the way you eat, the way you take care of yourself, the bad habits you may have. You can stabilize it. It tends to stabilize itself anyway over a period of time. The longer you have it, the more it just becomes just kind
part of the landscape, so to speak.
Yes, yeah. Part of the landscape, as it were. However, if you continue to abuse your body, you don't take care of yourself, you don't have good nutrition, mm-hmm. you don't take the vitamins you need to take, you smoke, et cetera, you're going to either A, have relapses where it comes on strong again, you have sudden breakouts again, or you just never get any better. It doesn't go into what we could call remission. And let me be perfectly clear for the listeners, you don't ever get rid of this. At least until we have some kind of medical advance, that is the way it's going to be. But it can go, the long-term patients, the long-term victims of this can manage it, almost like a diabetes, where you can manage diabetes mm-hmm. and keep it from getting worse.
And what does, Cliff, what does common courtesy dictate to someone with Morgellons about going out in public?
Well, you need to be responsible, but I've always felt that you should never cut yourself off from the rest of the world.
Oh, the worst thing to do. You just die.
Absolutely, because exactly, that's what it is.
But you don't want to go out and share glasses, drinks, bottles, food. You don't want to share, obviously, anything that would be very personal, whether a comb, a brush. It doesn't matter. You just don't. I think most Morgellons folks are aware of that. I don't know what the overall level of responsibility is in the community for that kind of competent behavior or not. A lot of people just deny, hell, I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to go out with as much fun as I can, out with you, and they don't care.
Right.
It is an STD. No one's proven it isn't. Let's put it that way.
Right. And since you brought that up, I mean, I would say that there's parallels between how you would behave were it to be that you were infected with HIV. You're just not going to go out and have wild sex. But nonetheless, you can still function in society with HIV. You can function in society with diabetes. If you control it, then you take the steps that are needed to control it, certain types of diabetes, that is. And it's the same with Morgellons, but it's responsibility, and it's a personal choice that we have to make. However, and just like you said, do not hide in your house, close the curtains, shut the place down, and shut down yourself, because that is the worst thing you can do. I've always emphasized, in my opinion, that number one is a positive mental attitude. If you're going to survive with this affliction, you must have a positive mental attitude. And from there, everything else will grow.
Okay.
And you need to respect your body and take care of it.
Now, there are some out there who are still hawking cures, and if you see any, they're the ones who the FDA really ought to go after, not the good folks. That's unfortunate. Now, there are also people who say there are very similar symptoms in Morgellons victims as there are in Lyme victims. And they're also suggesting that some Lyme protocols can help with Morgellons. I don't know anything about that. I've just heard it, and I just throw it out there and see what you have to say about it.
Well, the Lyme Morgellons connection, that story has been around since
for years.
Yeah, for years. Ever since it first made a splash on the internet, the connection between Lyme and Morgellons has been drawn, and I'm not really 100% convinced that there's grounds for that. I don't know exactly where that came from, how that link was established, but it just seems it's like a bad penny. It seems to follow Morgellons patients or Morgellons sufferers around. I'm not saying that there may not be some kind of connection, but like you just said a few minutes ago, we don't have any proof. And there's lots of people out there with Lyme who don't have Morgellons and vice versa. You know, I don't know really. I'm just not going to buy it.
I hate to say this, but I don't either. Not until I'm shown proof positive. Similar symptoms don't mean anything. They don't prove anything. There are only so many symptoms in the basket of symptoms for all diseases. That's why it's becoming so hard for doctors to diagnose. You only have so many symptoms to go around. Certainly there are hallmark symptoms in Morgellons, but other diseases, not so. I mean, Lyme is a large single-celled organism. Morgellons is apparently a nano-based, self-replicating little machine of many different configurations in the body. It is quite frightening and extraordinary. And you can see all kinds of videos at Jan's website, thehousethatmorgellonsbuilt.com, I think. But just do search for, if you don't find it, do a search for Jan Smith, Morgellons, and you'll get to her page. Okay, we'll be right back with Cliff after this. Morgellons, Morgellons. How many times have you seen that in the media or heard it spoken in the media in the last year? Probably for most of you, none. except maybe on this program. That's about it. The blackout continues. The lid is down. Those who have been afflicted are told basically to go away by the medical community. They know what it is, I'm convinced, most doctors. When they see sores and lesions, they want that patient out of there. Go away. Nothing I can do for you. Yes? No?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no question about that. In fact, we have story after story of that kind of thing happening to people. There are some doctors out there that will fly in the face of adversity and will treat Morgellons patients. Not many, because they get a lot of pressure from their colleagues, and if they're not careful, they can actually end up in a lot of trouble with the AMA, and so they fly under the radar a lot. And on top of the fact that there just has never been any scientific research that has established a protocol for cure or for even substantial remission, other than just plain taking good care of yourself and changing your habits. It's a real conundrum that we're dealing with here. But I feel, Jeff, that in the end, this situation will force itself into the light, because it continues to grow, it continues to spread, and it's going to continue to infect people of high profile, i.e. Joni Mitchell, and there are others out there. And when the mind games that they are playing, the psychology of fear that they are instilling in people, where they are afraid to come out and say anything about this because they'll be labeled with one label or another, when that finally begins to lose its power, the dam will break and the truth will out, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
One can only hope.
Mm-hmm. Any non-government programs being offered for Morgellons victims by the community? I mean, there are people out there who have this, they know it, but they haven't told anyone.
Well,
where do they go? What do they do? I guess you'll go online, look for one of the organizations and contact
them. Yeah, there are some organizations out there, private organizations and nonprofit organizations that are doing some things. Don't waste your time with the government at this point in time, folks. That is not the where you want to go with this. But there are places you can get guidance or some suggestions. I can think of a couple of them right now. There's websites. One of them is the Charles Holman Foundation. They've been very proactive. Others out there, some of the boards, even boards like Limebusters, which I haven't been on in some time, but there's a community there that's devoted to Morgellons, where people can get together and talk. And the main thing is, you get together and you talk with other people that have this and find out that you're not alone. Hey, it's not me. You know, it's not just me. I'm not nuts. I'm not imagining this stuff. It is happening. The Charles Holman Foundation, their website has a lot of suggestions on it. And they do, I believe, have a list of some doctors that are willing to take a look at this and maybe, you know, at least talk to you about it. So if you do a search, you will find that there are some support networks out there. None of them are government.
Hmm. Well, so what's the future? More of the same? People becoming afflicted? Have you heard of younger children being nailed with this lately?
Yes.
It's been a while for me.
Yeah. There's it's out there. I haven't really had any cases that I'm aware of in the last year of young children that have been brought to my attention, but I hasten to say that that doesn't mean that they're not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that I haven't run across them. But we've had lots of cases before that.
Yeah, what's so sad is that people do go to the government, or they do go to the Organized Western Medical Association and try to get help, and they usually don't. They get shown the door. So that's why the organizations that support Morgellons victims are so crucial.
Yes, and one of the problems is that, well, worse than being shown the door, Jeff, is that they're sent out the door with their tail between their legs at a diagnosis of...
You're crazy.
You're crazy, yeah.
Don't come back. Don't call us. We'll call you and all that. Yeah.
Et cetera. You know, and probably one of the most insidious things that I can think of is the way that this that label has been applied to this community. And it's but sooner or later, it's got to come apart, because this continues to spread. And eventually, just like HIV was when it was denied for a substantial amount of time, and other diseases too, including chronic Lyme, which is now beginning to finally get some credibility.
Well, it's dragging Morgellons along with it too.
Yes, you know. And the bottom line is Morgellons victims cannot give up. You cannot give up this fight. You cannot give up this fight. I say it again because it is important, because you just have to keep on keeping on. That's plain and simple.
What is the second country beyond and behind the U.S. that recognizes, and I don't mean the government here, I mean, but we as a people recognize this. What other countries are active about this crisis?
Actually, there's in Europe, in England and in France, believe it or not, somewhat in Canada, but since Canada has such a small population base, and it gets a lot of times what happens in Canada sort of gets subsumed into what's going on in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But England and France both have strong communities.
So they are helping their own, at least private citizenry is.
Yes. Nothing like we see in the United States. I have some friends in Australia, and of course it's prevalent down there too.
Yeah.
There's some support groups as well in Australia.
All right. So if someone's got this and they're listening in, and you haven't contacted one of the groups, actually contact two or three of them and find out which one you like the best. Get yourself some help. This is an unknown silent plague, and it's got to be dealt with somehow. And I just have always felt terrible for people who have this. Any evidence, by the way, before I forget, of this being passed along during pregnancy to the unborn child?
No, we don't have any data on that.
After all these years, we still don't. Yeah. And you'd think somebody who has it is profiled, tracked, and if they do get pregnant, they're watched and tested. There's just no science being done on this except that which Jan Smith and Clifford Carnicom and a couple others do. And that's about it.
Right. And, of course, obviously you're going to give birth to a baby. The baby's going to go down the birth canal. You're infected. One of the areas that's highly infected, of course, other than the ears, nose, and throat, is the pubic areas. The whole entire body, of course.
Right.
And, you know, the baby's got to be exposed. So the question is,
sure.
You know, where's the studies that tell us? And we don't have those.
Well, again, to the great shame of the American medical community, they've hidden their heads in the sand on this and lied to people about this. It's outrageous, and it's going to continue. Anything new by way of television documentary stuff? That's always helpful. I don't know that I've seen a really good one, an honest one, in a long time.
No, we haven't had anything.
Here's a perfect topic for a documentary, but it's not going to get made because the controllers don't want it made.
Well, absolutely, Jeff. And on top of that, not only is it a perfect documentary subject, but in my opinion, this particular affliction is a perfect subject for someone to gain themselves a Nobel Prize in medicine.
Why not? Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, I would nominate Jan if I could.
Yes, absolutely. She's done more than just about anybody I can think of.
Yeah. Again, Jan Smith Morgellons, do a search, Jan Smith Morgellons, and I believe her site is the house that Morgellons built. And look at what she has documented. This isn't speculative chattering. These are documented photographs of things that have come out of her body, just extraordinary things, amazing things. And these little machines, whatever they are, apparently have the ability to create and become almost anything. Like, what was it? Transformers, that movie.
Yeah, the Transformers movie.
Yeah.
Well, and, of course, one of the things that Morgellons victims encounter is the wide range of manifestations this thing presents. And you're going, one week you've got it doing one thing, and then the next week there's something else, and you're going, what on earth?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third week it's doing something else, and
right.
There's something else coming out of your body. But in the end, it boils down to it tends to plane out and become pretty similar in the end. But when it first comes on, it seems to me, in my experience, and I think Jan would probably back that up, is that the initial onset, may it be months or even a few years of an onset, is when you really get the totally bizarre stuff happening. Things that were changes every day or every week, and it's just new things coming out of your body that seem to be from another planet. And it's only in after down the road a few years where it tends to normalize itself and sort of shake out the chafe, as it were.
Correct. Okay, last question. We got to go here in just a minute. When you track the groups you're involved with and the people you're involved with, what's the rate of new and newly identified, I'll use the word infections because it's easy. How often are we coming up with, what's the database showing?
Well, my own personal database, I get hits probably three a day.
These are new people?
Yeah, new people contacting me that find my name on the internet or wherever or on your shows and say, hey, you know, I think I've got this. This is what I've got. And that's just me. And the other people out there, there's more. So if I'm getting those kinds of hits per week, per day, you can imagine the numbers that are really out there.
Oh, sure. Okay, very good. Thank you for the update, Cliff. Always appreciated. Talk to you soon. Say hello to Jan if she's not listening.
I will.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Cliff Mickelson, and that's a little more gallant update for you. All right, we'll be right back in just a few.